Oh, hey everybody, and welcome to the final episode, most likely, of Lucha Afterground, the premiere, formerly the premiere, Lucha Underground after show.
After this.
Yeah. On the web. My name is Max. With me, as always,
is Travis.
How and you doing, guys? Joined through the magic of modern technology.
Yeah.
All the way from Middle America. Is that appropriate? I don't know.
Is Ohio considered Middle America?
Some people say that it is.
Yeah. Mm.
How do you feel about it?
I'm okay with that idea.
Yeah. Okay, sounds good. You might recognize his voice. He's friend of the show.
Dear friend of the show. I mean, like, look, I said for the last three episodes we were going to go all out on guests and stuff as just a good send-off, and it was never a doubt in my mind that our final guest would be Mr. Robert Charlton. Bobby C., how you doing, buddy?
I am doing fantastic, and I am honored to be here for this final episode.
This momentous occasion.
Yeah.
Two momentous occasions that you have been involved with in my life. Yeah. One, this episode. And number two is attending my wedding through proxy.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to say, Max, I haven't seen you since the wedding. How have things been?
Things are going well. Long-time listeners might know this, but for the average person, it's unlikely that... I did an internet deep dive, pulled a photograph of Bobby C off of his Twitter.
Yeah.
Then I included it as part of Travis's wife's table card setting. Yes. See, the thing about Travis's wife is that she's thrilled that this podcast is over.
You guys got a couple minutes? Yeah, she loves this. She loves it.
So, just like a little dig at her, I guess, at the show. But also, I knew it would somehow travel back to you and that hopefully it would get a pop.
Yeah.
Oh, big time.
Awesome. Wow. So, news and notes. Any news and notes?
Lucha Underground is over.
Yeah.
That's my number one news.
I mean, we'll get to that.
That might be up for debate.
Yeah.
I have some stuff to add just briefly from the last few episodes that may have come up.
Okay.
Matt Cross, actually from glorious Cleveland, Ohio. He's actually good friends with a couple of friends of mine, and cool. I can say that I watched a pay-per-view, a SummerSlam, a couple years ago with Son of Havoc.
That's awesome. Wow. Great.
And I think El Bunny, I know we've mentioned he may have been Masquerita Sagrada, but not the Masquerita Sagrada as we know him from Lucha Underground.
Uh-huh.
I think he is actually El Torito, who did wrestle as Masquerita Sagrada, but a different spelling, if I found that correctly.
Interesting.
Oh, wow. So they swapped him.
Yeah.
They swapped minis.
Yeah, remember El Torito?
When I saw him, he looked just too tall.
That's why I kind of thought
Masquerita Sagrada.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He seemed like he had a little too much spring in his step.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think?
Allegedly.
Okay, interesting. Well, do you think they shoot murdered Masquerita Sagrada?
Well, I don't know any other way you could have gotten rid of him.
I know.
There's no way.
These people are all dead as far as I'm aware.
That's right. Wrestling is real.
Yes.
Yeah. So. Still real to me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for that. Shall we ring the bell?
No. Now, hold on a second. Now, okay. Do we want to do sort of our end of series thoughts at the beginning or at the end of the episode? I guess at the end. We go through the episode and then we sort of...
Okay. Yeah. We could, I mean, get comfortable, folks.
Oh, jeez.
Because it's an hour and a half episode, and then, I mean, we didn't really do the awards. I don't think we're going to do the awards this year, let's be honest. Are we going to do the awards this year?
Does anybody deserve an award?
Maybe.
Yeah, there's not a lot of awards to go around this season, unfortunately.
I mean, I'll say it right now. The old one, Spanish language, facial coverings included. Remember mm-hmm. that? Best performance? But
that's the best award of the year.
Yes, yeah. That's Aerostar, hands down.
Oh, what about this new guy that came at the very end with the samurai helmet?
If there was a supporting, maybe.
Okay.
Baby man in samurai helmet?
Yes. Yeah. We'll get to that. Whoa, we're way ahead of ourselves, guys. Whoa,
spoilers.
Sorry.
Let's ring that bell.
Ring the bell.
Lucha Underground.
Got no soundboard.
Lucha Underground, Season 4, Episode 22, Ultima Lucha Quattro, Part 2. Recap, they went over, it starts with the tribes, going way back to however long ago that was. A bit of Dario's death, like they're really going back.
As soon as I saw that, uh-huh. I was like, Dario's coming back.
I know, by the end of this episode. I thought so too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Friend in the Limo, like all this stuff. Matanza, Johnny Mundo and the Gauntlet, Mac and Mel, the Dark Phoenix saga, and Marty and Penta, as well as the Amulet. So we begin backstage, and Johnny is air guitaring with the Gauntlet, with Taya, and he says, asks if she'd have his back,
mm-hmm.
and she said, I wouldn't miss it for the Mundo.
I loved it.
You did?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I did.
I did not. What does it mean?
Mundo means world.
Oh, yep. I thank you. I had no idea.
Oh, really?
I honestly didn't know.
What did you think it was referring to?
I just thought it, like she was calling it like a pun on moon or something. I had no idea what Mundo, I'm sorry. I did not know Mundo meant world. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
That adds a lot to the character the last four seasons.
Yes,
huh?
Of course it sure does. The last four seasons. Yes, it does. Thank you. So he leaves, and then we see that she has begun a relationship with this doll. Rosa says, I love you lots. You're the perfect woman. And then did she say the perfect host?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they all shaky shake, and they fade out. You didn't care for the shake?
The shake itself?
Yeah.
I think the shake could have been better. Okay. I feel like the shake was the first take, and then they're just like, moving on.
It might be right.
Yeah, that left a little bit to be desired.
Yeah. It was, I don't know. a little hokey.
But I guess, but
of course, of course it's going to be hokey.
Yeah. But, and this, I think this was the first, segment, and the first whisper that we may have some untied strings at the end of this season.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. I guess it was, it would be inappropriate of them, I guess, and maybe self-defeating, mm-hmm. just to treat this as the final series episode.
Of course.
But at the same time, I guess I was kind of hoping for something a little more definitive, mm-hmm. in, like, you know, do you remember thinking back to like the way season one ended?
I know. I mean, hey, well, we can get to all this stuff. We get to all of this. I'm just saying.
Let's
just
say this up.
First drink. I'm the first whisper of it. I said we'll talk about it when we get to all the rest. We enter the temple. L43, who? As far as I'm concerned,
L43 is good. You know who the imagine? I want you to imagine you guys for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Gold Dust.
Yes.
Okay. But then Gold Dust is now in the Bullet Club.
Okay.
Is that not the lead singer of L43?
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. You might have something there. Yes. Wow.
I just, like, that was the first new band we saw all season, I think.
The only band that appeared only in
season four. And they were, definite standout. The marching band was great. And that leads us to our first match. 2 out of 3 falls in this feud that, goodness gracious, we're liking a lot. El Dragon Azteca Jr. versus Phoenix. We've been saying it for the last, since we started doing this, but Melissa still with the subtleties in that announcing, still amazing.
I want to know, before we get into the match, Bob, what is your what are your impressions over the whole Dragon Azteca Phoenix Melissa saga up to this point? Positive feelings, negative feelings? Where do you stand on the whole thing?
I thought it was pretty good throughout the whole season. I don't know that they had anything to do with Phoenix that would have been new. So I think putting him in the role as the bad guy, kind of changing his character a bit, added a lot to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's already beaten all of the big heels. So who else does he have to wrestle at this point?
Yeah. Good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say right now, this match for me, disappointment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I actually agree with that.
Yeah, it took a long time to get going, that's for sure.
Well, it was just like, anyways, fast paced to start, bit of counters, and then just basically, wow, very quick pin as he stares at Melissa. Just this quick, like, what?
I know.
Like, you guys have been like at each other's throats. Or not necessarily at each other's throats, but this is starting to feel like a blood feud. Like, this is going to have to get dirty. And it's just like a quick technical kind of victory. I don't know. And
the exchange too quick.
Again, the second fall starts with Phoenix setting up chairs and tables. Dragon Azteca gets fired up, hits his Tilt-A-Whirl DDT for his win, and then it's like 1-1. And this is literally, I guess, the two first where they went for breaks at both of these stops too, right? Antonio Cueto comes out And he said, I think we should take it to the next level. The final thing will be files count anywhere.
He seemed particularly, like, guttural, throaty today.
Yeah, there's one part where he really lost his cool.
Yeah.
He was pissed off that Johnny had the gauntlet. Yeah. Like, that really freaked him out.
Yeah, totally. But he was almost unintelligible a few times.
I know.
Yeah, it was real difficult to understand him.
But you know what? I kind of like it.
What would Malta Malucha be without a Falls Count Anywhere match?
Yeah, I guess. Why not just have the three segments of a Falls Count Anywhere and not the two out of three falls? I think that the stipulation didn't match the type of feud that it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you wanted to make this all like some big thing, and like, hey, they were doing great work again. I love these guys. But I don't know.
Well, I guess I thought it was odd,
mm-hmm.
The fact that it went from being two out of three falls, and then the first two falls were so quick, and then quickly transitioned into the Falls Count Anywheres. It did make me wonder, like, why not just make this Falls Count Anywhere from the beginning and just go from there?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would have felt a lot more cohesive if they did that. Those first two falls just didn't feel like there was anything to it.
No.
It was... It was weird, but mm-hmm. I think I liked all the stuff at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Melissa. I mean, after the first two falls, it turned into like a good match.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't know. But even that with when Melissa finally got involved, we see that she's disturbed. There's a pin attempt. There's this chair slap fest. I've got a bunch of stuff here, but when she finally gets involved, we know we have the story from before, but there was nothing within the story of this match that she was this kind of entity kind of hovering over that. I think they should have sprinkled in some more of that as opposed to it just like kind of this plot of convenience. Okay, now she's going to get involved and it's going to mess up the thing. Because there was no... Like, they were beating the shit out of each other this whole match. And there was no reason for why at that point him grabbing... It was Dragon Azteca going up with a chair... to hit Phoenix with it, that he had him stop. And her performance is still great. Like, she was really good. But
I guess this didn't really resolve anything or move anything forward in any way.
Yeah,
I agree. Definitely, I mean, the last fall was very good, a lot of good action, but the ending kind of fell flat, and I don't know. Melissa was great, and the wrestling was fun, but I don't think it did much.
Yeah.
There was a few pretty... One thing that stands out to me is Dragon Azteca almost being put through the table, but not quite. And then Stryker's call about, didn't go through the table. Yes. It's even... And him trying to, like, backpedal and explain, like, oh, this, you know, it's actually better if you go through the table. It's like, wait, hold on a second.
You're just ruining all of, like, wrestling up until that point.
Yeah.
So we should be happy that they didn't just clip it anytime that happens?
No kidding.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That was a standout spot for sure.
I wanted to ask you guys, that whole Stryker thing got me thinking about tables. And I would love to know, like, how far... Do you guys have any sense of, like, when the whole table stuff came into fashion? Like, at what point in history were people starting to use tables?
Well, I mean, you can go back to... I remember in Memphis, there's a match between Jerry Lawler and Randy Savage, where he gave a pile driver onto a table. That was one of the earliest I can remember. This is probably, like, 82.
Did they go through it?
Yes. But even before then, like, you wouldn't see people go through tables a lot.
Yeah.
Until I can remember, there's a Saturday Night's main event, and I don't know what's going on worldwide at the time. But there's a Saturday Night's main event where Harley Race goes through a table. It's before like gimmicks tables too. So he goes through. It's pretty stiff. That's a great match. That's one of Hulk Hogan's best match. I recommend.
No kidding.
He's in the news lately. Have you guys been hearing about that?
Oh, weird.
And then does it all just kind of come into fashion with ECW? Is that what happens?
Probably. Or, like, I would assume, like, death matches were happening sometime before that, right?
Probably in that era. That early 90s is really when they started to become popular, basically, in every promotion, from what it seems like.
Would there be any value in if there was sort of a moratorium on tables for a year or two? Just, like, no tables. As an industry, we've gotten together, we've decided no tables, just for a year.
It's like they're all gonna get a cut to all these promoters signing.
Yes. Yeah. That, see, that was the nice thing about the NWA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it would be good, man. I don't know. I think I was going through a little bit of table overload.
Sure.
By the end of these 2 hours, mm-hmm. and it began to really not matter. Yeah. And
They never get the pin, no matter how many tables someone goes through. Yeah. It's almost never the end of a match. So, yeah. At what point is it there any value to having a table in a match?
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, I'm sure it's still. I mean, it sounds like it definitely always pops the crowd live. Yeah. Like I've been to plenty. Yeah, you know, it's different, right? Yeah, you're seeing it live. It's still this amazing. Like,
it's so loud.
It's visceral. It's great. So, yeah. I mean, I get it, but if only they come together.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring that table stuff back up. Yeah. Let's elevate the table again.
Elevate the table.
Elevate the table.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This is very. I mean, these two shows are very deliberately booked in that the first one was much more traditional wrestling, and this is the more gimmicky deathmatch stuff, right?
Oh, definitely.
So I think maybe what they could have done to serve Max's refined tastes a little more was move one of these into that first one, perhaps, and sprinkle it out a little more. Then it wouldn't have been so table overload. Is that safe to say? Maybe.
Yeah, I think so. You know what? By the end of it, I felt the same way about Blood. I was just like, oh my god.
We'll get to that.
Oh my goodness. Anyways, so Melissa is upset at the end of this match, does not make an announcement, just runs away. As I said, a bit of a disappointment. I just thought it was ultimately poorly booked. Any other thoughts, guys?
Not really the barn burner I was expecting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I really thought this would be the best match of the whole season.
Me too.
And I definitely was let down.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah, oh well. But it does, I think from this point on, things did get better in terms of match quality. But we come back from the break, and it's just Antonio Quino.
This was super bizarre.
I wish we had the soundboard today, because I would demand that this was on there. It's like, love, it makes you do strange things, huh?
I know. Was he ad-libbing?
I don't know.
I really feel like he was ad-libbing.
It was so great.
Yeah.
So he gets into this thing as though he's like, it's been in intense negotiations. Like he's been talking about. And finally, we just signed. And they announce, and I don't... Shaw Guerrero, daughter of Vicky and
I had no idea. Until like three quarters of the way through this whole thing, I was like, who is this? Well, why should I be excited?
Okay, well, I mean, I recognize the name. And they said...
That's why this is the premiere of the Underground.
What I was going to ask, Bob, is do you know if this was like her first appearance as an entity in the wrestling world, you know?
I don't believe so, but I know that she's, from what I can tell on her Twitter, is much more of like a model than a wrestler currently.
Okay.
That would explain that she came in as a ring announcer.
Yes.
Yeah.
She did an okay job, but I don't like nobody.
Well, I really like this segment actually, especially the second time I watched it. Famous B interrupts. You get the old get chant again. Mm-hmm. I like that that's over with him. He tells her to leave and he gives her a card. And I love this, the way she's upset with him. But she delivers her mother's line, but in like kind of a more like legitimately pissed off.
Oh, she's like, that's what the
she's like,
excuse me.
Yeah. Like that was such a meh. Like there was little subtle. Like, I mean, there was the overt stuff with her doing the Three Amigos and Chavo hitting the thing. But that was such a nice touch, I thought. A nice Eddie chant from the crowd off of her lineage. Famous B challenges her, and Chavo returns, and she gets in a little. I think she got a thumb to the eye first, which I think was a nice touch.
Yeah,
like lie, cheat, and steal, man. That's like her. I like it. And she hits the Three Amigos, and Chavo hits the frog splash. I would assume if we are going forward, there's going to be a few new names on the roster, and I think she will be a permanent.
Does that
fixture.
Mean? Do you think that she would be the?
I think it's quite possible, but I think she could become more of more involved in wrestling and stuff. Well, I mean, in terms of that, the Dark Phoenix saga, I think if they do come back, if the two of them are somehow back for season 5, I think Melissa will have gone to the dark side now as well.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
That'd be an interesting turn.
Right? Then you're challenging her. Like, she's probably, like, she's, you know.
Well, what I hope this isn't. Is a way to write Melissa off in like a very unceremonious way.
Mm.
Replace her with this teenager. a random teenager.
Just not that random.
Man. Well, I mean,
you're the lineage.
Yeah, I guess. But listen, guys, if they're, I don't know, it would be hard for me to get the will to mm-hmm. watch season 5 if Melissa Santos is not involved.
I can understand that.
I was thinking about this as watch when I was watching this. I think I'm going to say this. I really mean this.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't watched as much wrestling as other people. I don't know who Eddie Guerrero's teenage daughter is. But from what I have watched, I think Melissa Santos might be the greatest ring announcer of all time.
Huh.
I don't have a lot of arguments for that, to tell you the truth.
Well, Howard Finkel.
I haven't watched a lot of wrestling.
Howard Finkel is...
Howard's great.
An important and probably the most recognizable...
Sure.
Ring announcing voice of all time. But are we counting like Michael Buffer?
Who is Michael Buffer? Ready to Rumble?
Ready? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, we're not counting.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Actually, yes, we are.
Count Michael Buffer. That's fine.
In WCW. Yeah. Yeah. No. Hey, she's up there. You know. I love her. You know. I love her.
Would you give me top two?
What's that?
Would you give me top two? Travis. Top two.
Sure. Sure. I'll give you that.
Boom. Bob.
Okay.
That's a thumbs up from me.
All but boom, right. This is the hard hitting analysis that people tune in.
Yeah, and they tune in for death matches because that's what we got next.
Mm.
The Mac versus Mil Muertes. Only Mil got an entrance, and he comes in with a coffin, like playing his music.
Yeah, how does Mac not get an entrance in?
I know
what
I know.
It's just.
And it was so weird because you did hear his music again later, and it was so incongruous with the action that was going on at the time of his music. Anyways, so he comes into the coffin again, smash mouth to start as you'd expect.
There was some slugs, like they're just punching each other in the face. It just looked like real punches. Like, they real punches?
Yeah, this lived up to what you know, especially when you heard what a death match was going to be, but also. It lived up to the deathmatch expectations, I suppose, but also the expectations of these two wrestlers and what they could do with each other. Max hits his flip to the outside. Nasty DDT on the apron from Mil Muertes onto the way he kind of rolled out of that did not look good. But Mil Muertes grabs another coffin, hits an X-Factor onto it, and a bunch of clotheslines like he does in the corner. They're always good. Mac gets another great shine in, and we learn that the coffin is filled with murder weapons. Just different types of weapons.
That's what I would expect with a coffin from Mil Muertes.
Yeah. I told you I watched it the second time, and this time I watched all of it. If you tell me if I'm Father of the Year or not. I watched all of it with Nora today.
Oh, jeez.
And I was warning her, but I had already seen it, and I'm like, okay, this could get a little scary. This one's going to have some blood in it. This one's got a lot of blood.
Oh, my God.
But she's like, okay. And she stuck with it the whole way through.
Is that something proud of? I'm having a hard time understanding your tone here.
I don't
want
you to tell me. I mean, I was making sure the whole way through. I'm not going to throw something up at her that's going to trauma.
When did you watch this?
Just before I...
we'll see if she makes it through the night.
Yeah. It's weird, man. She will watch... I remember I put on just a snippet of Death Note thinking it would be funny of like the live show, just finding a part where a kid writes down decapitation on a thing. And then she's just watching it with just like, no, like not even switching her, flitching her. I'm like seeing, is this going to scare her? But nothing. But she couldn't finish Moana because it was too scary.
You know, because she started caring about the characters.
Maybe.
There's a lot of emotion involved.
The songs. They really get your heart.
Yeah. You know. I can't remember what the part was that I don't know. But anyways, the reason why I'm mentioning that is when the second coffin came out, she's like, is that what they keep in coffins? I'm like, no, not at all. Not at all. So Mil topes out.
Don't you think they could have just called this, like, made this a Grave Consequences match?
Yes.
I was thinking about that, because Stryker even mentions, like, it's not a Grave Consequences match.
Well, you would have had to change the finish, ultimately.
I don't think that wouldn't necessarily have been a problem. But they get Mac over earlier, because he's the one who wants the match.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody demanded to wrestle Mil Muertes in a Grave Consequences match? I don't think so.
No.
And I think it would have achieved the same thing, but even more. It would have been a little more on brand. This is like sort of one of the Lucha Underground, you know, signature matches.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Jeremiah Crane kind of wanted to be in that match earlier in the season.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah. That might be the only reason they didn't call it that, is because they kind of already did that one
this year. Yeah, that's true. They definitely have a pattern of only wanting to do
that
once.
Their big name matches once mm-hmm. a season.
Mm-hmm. This just felt so much like... Because it like there really isn't a difference between a Sierra Mato match and a death match.
Nope.
Right?
Nope.
Or a weapons of mass destruction match. Or
nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
They came up with a lot of different names for these things over the 4 years of this.
Because the Quaidos are excellent promoters.
Yeah, they are.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little disappointed.
They got Shaw Guerrero, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, who books Shaw Guerrero? Not just anyone.
I don't know.
Intense negotiations.
It was so weird.
To the wee hours of the morning.
It's just such a bizarre thing. It's like, why, what is going on? Who is this? I'm looking around my apartment, like I'm home alone watching this. I'm like looking around, like I need someone to explain.
Someone's just going to come out and give you the lowdown on who it is.
Yeah, I eventually figured it out, but it was like, you know. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Not until they spelled it out for me.
Mm-hmm.
When Chavo's name ends up on the executive producers list, sometimes there's a bit of nepotism in the
title. Yeah, exactly. Well. Yeah. So they open up the coffin and it's full of weapons.
Yeah.
Immediately, I get tense because they all look very sharp.
I know.
Like these look like real. These are real.
Yes. Right?
There's a brick.
Yeah.
There's a hammer.
Yeah.
A couple
meat hooks.
Yeah, yeah. The hooks in particular were very unsettling. And then, of course, there's a full-fledged, like, wood-chopping axe.
Yes, which makes an appearance later. But not until after, as I said, Mel Muertes hits his tope out to the outside, knocks over the coffin, but he has to pull it back up, and just as he's pulling it back up, he comes so close to catching his fingers in there. That could have been remembered by the Lucha Underground legacy. Like, that could have been YouTube a million hits. Wrestler gets fingers caught in coffin.
That would have been so painful.
I know.
That's the type of thing that's like, I don't care how strong you are, how much you, you don't have fat or muscle in your fingers like that to protect you
from
something like that.
There's no way you can act like a tough guy when it happens.
Yeah.
It could have been bad.
There's a moment, too. It slams.
It was the whole history of the character.
Yeah, totally.
He pulls his fingers out just at the last second. The crowd knows. The crowd, kind of rumbles about it, and you can see him look up at the crowd.
Yeah.
And it's like,
he's
thinking about it.
Yeah,
it was so similar. I don't know if you can remember back to that moment where he was fighting along with the band, and he suddenly grabs the mic for a second, and you can just see the wheels turning in his head, and he's like, "No, I'm not going to do it."
Something. The Ricky Banderas makes a brief appearance.
That's right.
Once in a while.
That's right.
So they bring the axe into the ring. They have a couple swipes at each other that thankfully do not connect.
Oh my God. I felt like
I was legit concerned they might actually take that step and hit one another with an axe.
Uh-huh. Yeah. There was props to both of those guys because Muertes, he has like an overhead chop that somehow Mac stops with his hands.
Yes.
But that seemed like if the Mac didn't get his hands in the right place, like I think he would be dead.
Yeah, well, I think the axe looked a little light. I think it was, a gimmicked axe.
You think it was a gimmicked axe?
Yeah, I'm quite certain it was.
Bob, what do you think?
I would hope so.
Yes.
he could have easily dropped that once he got his hands caught, and then it just falls on his head, and then where are we?
So, oh man, I can taste my brain.
Oh gosh.
But do you think you'd go that way, or we'd go with a good pun, like a splitting headache pun?
Yeah. That's good.
I expect that out of the Mac, frankly. Yeah.
Oh man!
And then the Mac somehow wrestles control of the axe and takes like a full-fledged like decapitation swing, and like the announcers are just they're like, moving on. Like it wasn't occurring to anybody.
You almost saw
murder.
Yeah. Anyways, what's the name? Gets an ice pick. Mel Muertes gets an ice pick and takes it to Mac's head. A couple stabs, and there you got your first color of the evening.
Yeah.
Mac shouts something as he clocks Mel Muertes with a chair. Did you hear what he said here?
Hmm.
Bob, could you make it out?
This one I didn't catch.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. Something about, man, there's kids around. It's what it's, it was something really weird like that. It made no sense. Mac, but the Mac hits a Van Damminator. I don't think we'd seen him do that before. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Anyway, the crowd was definitely excited for that one.
Yeah, the crowd was way into it. Dueling chance, though, because Mil Muerte, that's a testament to both of these men as to the work they've done over mm-hmm. 4 years. The Mac tears at his mask, grabs a kendo stick. Mac hits a DDT for a near fall. A couple more near falls. Mil Muerte's with a strong flatliner, but Mac kicks out. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. That was great. Oh, yeah. Come on. Yeah, attaboy, Willie. Attaboy. awesome stunner counter off of the choke slam. Second stunner. Mil Muerte's won't go down. Brick to the face after motherfucker. And the third stunner for the win.
Gimmicked brick.
What's that?
Gimmicked brick.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I went 3 stars on this one for sure.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Bob, yeah. What are your overall thoughts on the match?
Better than I anticipated it. I've seen a lot of garbage death matches. Unfortunately, they're not my cup of tea typically, but I think this one had enough non-weapon action involved. Both guys threw in their big spots. Overall, very good.
Mm-hmm. But would you guys say your impression of this was more positive than the House of Horrors?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
I side on the opposite side of the House of the Haunted House match from you guys. I mm-hmm. actually really enjoyed it for as goofy as it was. Yeah. It felt kind of like old school Lucha Underground, like season one, where there was just goofy stuff that happened on a pretty regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like into it. For as bad as season three was, most of the goofy stuff this season I kind of went along with.
Right on.
Won
you over.
Yeah, I get it. Well, I think we're past the halfway point here. So
Wait.
What?
I have a question about death.
Oh, match. Wait, I should mention post-match. You ask your question in a second. Mm. Oh, yes, this is what I thought. When Matan or the Mac drags him over to the coffin, puts him in there as he's drinking his beers. But his mute. This is when the Mac's theme music is playing.
Oh yeah,
it's like this kind of slow jam. It's like kind of Muzak-y version of a slow jam or something. It just did not match with what we were seeing. It was so bizarre because it didn't sound like a wrestler song. It just sounded like what you'd have on in the background at a shopping center.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I guess it's like he's a smooth operator. Yeah,
it was weird, especially because we didn't hear it at the beginning. You know what I mean?
So I'm curious to know. Matches. Yeah, death matches in general. Like for you guys, when you hear death match, what defines a death match to you?
I would say weapons, barbed wire, usually, and in some one form or another. Something wooden getting broken.
Something wooden getting broken.
And you know, like lots of blood.
Yeah, but
yeah, lots of blood is usually the first thing that comes to mind when I hear deathmatch. Almost as an excuse to throw it out there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of weapons, excessive violence. You know, forehead cutting and things like that typically jump to the forefront when you say deathmatch.
How would you describe it? Like, let's say you took a coworker or a loved one, somebody who doesn't know anything about wrestling, and you take you take them to a local show, and they're announcing the card, or like they hand you a program, and like the third match on the card says death match.
Yes.
You turn to them, and how do you warn them?
Well, having had this experience, my wife only started watching wrestling within the past few years with me. So our first live show, they of course have a death match because what independent promotion doesn't have a death match to sell tickets?
As a curtain jerk.
Right. They're just opening the show with blood and guts everywhere.
Oh god.
So I go, well, this is probably something you're not going to enjoy. However, after this, there'll be actual wrestling.
Huh.
So there's going to be a lot of blood. And she's like, I'm going to go somewhere else while they do that.
No
I can understand that. Yeah, she didn't. She doesn't stick around for that.
Yeah, I get it. We took a doctor friend of ours to a first blood match between Scotty Mac and Jamie Diaz. Remember? And I kept saying, yeah, well, at the end, like, so somebody's going to blade. And he's like, no, that is that is unsanitary. That is dangerous. And then I'm like, sure, as you can see what it's got. I'm like, look, you see. I'm like pointing it out to him. He's like, oh my God. He's like, still just couldn't wrap his head around the concept. Wow. So yeah, I imagine there might even be some more explanations of like, you cannot shatter fluorescent light bulbs over someone's head like that.
It's very dangerous. Yes. I mean, it could be illegal.
Yeah.
I took a bunch of coworkers to tables, letters, and chairs match, mm-hmm. and I had been working with them for maybe 2 weeks. And I realized halfway through that, like, most of them were not enjoying it. Mm-hmm. And I really wondered how that sort of painted their impression of me.
Yeah.
Because sure. I was loving it. Anyways, I digress.
That's funny. So shall we I think we should take a quick break. Before I read this copy here, Bob, I wanted to ask a bit about, you mentioned Jenna, your wife.
Yes.
I saw that she was posting something about some sort of presentation she was doing that was involved with wrestling. Would you be able to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, actually, earlier this year and a couple times, she does software testing, mm-hmm. For Progressive, and she actually put together a presentation that outlined the parallels between professional wrestling and software testing, mm-hmm. and software developing. So kind of how wrestlers' job is to combat one another, whereas like a software tester's job is to kind of combat the code that a developer writes, mm-hmm. but how at the end of the day, they're both working towards the same goal. So how, you know, these interactions, they come up and they're aggressive and they go against one another. But really, at the end of the day, they're really working together to put together the best show for the people.
I love it.
So she kind of put that together and she's been asked to present it at a couple of different places. It's really fun.
That sounds really cool, man. Yeah, I wanted to hear more about it and did not disappoint. That's awesome. Yeah, tell her kudos for me. Anybody who tries to insert wrestling into anything, because wrestling is everything, man. It is. Like that, I just, like, in the terms, in terms of like control, or like I get philosophical here, but just the idea of putting over young talent is like, mm-hmm. that's my life philosophy. And just recognizing about how someone controls a message can be so helpful in dissecting media and things like this. That, just to name two things off the top of my head as to why I stress the importance of this goofy shit we talk about, where this guy just put a ice pick into his Anyway, check out ProWrestlingOnly.com to explore podcasts along with match reviews, features and retrospectives, reviews of wrestling books, video games and matches, playlists, wrestler appearances and non-wrestling TV shows and movies and more. You can also join the conversation by signing up at the PWO forums. We've been online for over a decade and with over 2,000 registered members and an archive of over 4 million threads. I'll talk about that in a second. Our message board is a vibrant community all its own. Whether you want to talk about a specific match in our match discussion archive, take a dive in the Microscope forum, or discuss more general topics from wrestling's past and present, check this and or check all of this out and more at www.prowrestlingonly.com. So last time I have to do that.
Not your best.
No, I know. I wanted to. Thanks. There was. Most recent Worldcast with Kelly before they read this copy, it's just Kelly talking about, there's no way there's 4 million threads. He's like, I just did a quick look and just a quick estimate, and there's 500,000 posts, so that makes it impossible for there to be 4 million threads. Anyways,
just spreading lies.
It's semantics, really.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there will be someday, I'm sure.
That's right.
Yeah. Next match. It's
predictive copy. Yeah. Yeah.
Johnny Mundo with the gauntlet versus Matanza Cueto, who has Antonio Cueto enters and he's furious that Johnny Mundo has the gauntlet. He's like, I don't know where you got that. he calls for sacrifice. I just never seen him like that all season. I loved it.
He's outraged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also kind of just like panicking too. Like, holy shit. my guy might lose here. And Matanza enters with the headdress for the first time, and that looked badass.
That did look awesome.
Yeah.
I was big on the headdress. The rest of the gear, Well,
yeah,
maybe
I know what you mean. There was something weird about like the collar or something that made it seem
Jeff Cobb
feminine.
Is in very good shape. Like he's a big thick guy, mm-hmm. but that gear made him look real chubby.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It was not great.
It was bizarre. It was bizarre how it totally transformed his body.
Yeah. Maybe they knew he was on his way out, and they didn't.
It's a rib.
It's a rib on him.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're sending you to the other territory with a loss, pal.
Yeah. Oh, and you're looking chubby as fuck. Anyways, Matanza's caught by the throat, but is overpowered because Johnny has the gauntlet, but immediately it's thrown out. I loved this storytelling element of this match. Mm-hmm. Johnny Mundo with a nice Wrath of the Gods counter early. His moonsault dive. Johnny Mundo hits End of the World for a near fall. An awesome kind of superplex type move from off the top from Matanza. Johnny Mundo hides under the ring. At first, I'm like, what are they doing? I'm like, I see. Like, he lures Matanza in so he could go and get the gauntlet back. Mm-hmm. But he can't get it on. And I love that. Like, they're selling it. Like, this is clearly... So, I'm sure this angle came from... Well, I guess it existed before. But I'm sure Vampiro came home and called Chavez. Hey, did you see Infinity War?
Oh, you right? think it has something to do?
I don't know. I'm sure like something, right?
I want to give props to the crowd here for not picking up that gauntlet and messing with it. Right, they must have been prepped.
Oh, yeah. Please do not touch the gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine that going over the house mic before the match.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's a shame.
But you can't get it on. Matanza grabs it and then just like tosses it up into what looked like it was the attic. Like, it looked so non-discriminant that I thought that, wow, they've written out the gauntlet.
Totally. There was like dusty up there.
Yeah. It looked really need like a broom or something, like getting a soccer ball out of a tree. And I couldn't foresee that happening, so I thought that was
the only thing I could help. The only thing I'd help to think during that was how much funnier it would have been in the old temple if he had thrown it out the window.
Oh yes, those fucking windows
in the daylight, right?
Into the daylight that they fight at night,
2:30 in the afternoon. Kids leaving school. As you see us.
What an amazing reveal!
Yeah.
Oh yeah. These start at 10 a.m.
School special.
Yeah.
And those kids didn't find drugs on the way home. They found the gauntlet of the gods and see what happens next.
Yeah.
I love it.
Johnny Mundo climbs up and does a little bit of his parkour. We hadn't seen that all season, I don't think. But Matanza kind of catches him anyways because he can't quite make it.
I was a little disappointed by this. I wanted to see some legit parkour.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think they should have. I wish they would have. He would have climbed up like way over on the other corner of the building and then made it. And then was over there. And then maybe Matanza catches him at the end.
Yeah.
But whatever.
It was still cool.
Yeah. Yeah, come on, Johnny. Do a couple more flips, monkey boy. And Johnny Mundo moves up on top of the freezer and he gets the gauntlet. And I remember I laughed out loud here at Stryker trying to describe this gauntlet and what it did exactly. I can't remember what he said, but
yeah. There was a few moments in this with Stryker and Vamp where they started by being unsure about the gauntlet, and then by the end of the match, they like knew its name and like, oh, it's the gauntlet of the gods. Yes. It grants you unspeakable power.
Yes, that's what killed Lorenzo Lama.
Exactly.
That's what killed Councilman Delgado.
Yeah.
Johnny Mundo goes through the roof, classic.
Or goes, through the floor, whatever you want to describe it.
Or the roof of the, wherever the hell they were. Matanza's music plays like it's over. I'm like, I don't think that nobody ever really thought it was over because, oh man, what a great, and he's walking downstairs and that reveal, I knew it was going to be a good reveal. I didn't know he was going to throw in that arm, throw up. That was so great.
That was such a good moment.
Yeah. Man. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Just hitting that pose. And that goes back. That's John Morrison, man. That's Johnny Mundo. That's everything.
Oh, yeah.
Here's our guy. This guy who's done, and here's another, I'll say a career highlight for this guy. So he starts throwing punches right away. The crowd is so hyper. Matanza fears him now. Matanza hits the Wrath of God, but Johnny Mundo kicks out. Antonio Cueto looking concerned. Great shot. Two more punches. Johnny Mundo goes up to the top, gives Antonio the finger, hits the punch off the top, and covers Matanza for the win. I went 3.5 on this one.
Yeah.
Really creative booking. Really fun.
I'm with that.
Totally. Sure. This is my favorite match of all.
Oh, really?
Yep. Of Ultima Lucha Cuatro.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the fact that they were focused, and it was on the gauntlet, and everything revolved around the gauntlet. Johnny Mundo can do incredible athletic things. Mm-hmm. They didn't finish him off with those things. They finished him off with a punch.
Yeah, with the gauntlet.
With the gauntlet.
He spent so much time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They found a way for him to do athletic things when he didn't have the gauntlet. They incorporated his parkour and all sorts of stuff. It all made sense. Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah, great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Crowd chants for a sacrifice as we go to break. And he just kind of smiles along with them.
I had a thought about Cueto at this during this part. And I think one of the things that was sort of lacking for me for season 4 is that we didn't really get any sort of arc with Cueto, right?
No.
When Dario was around, Dario was a character.
Mm-hmm.
He had emotion. He would get scared. He would be threatened. He would threaten. He would bribe people. He was involved in what was happening. Yeah. He had goals.
He had problems. He had addiction.
He had addictions.
Yeah, he did.
That's right. But with Antonio Cueto, he was always just there, and he was sort of one note the entire time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I was supposed to just enjoy the novelty of knowing that it was Dario, the actor, underneath mm-hmm. it, whose name, by the way, still after 4 years, I don't know.
Luis Hernandez Gil.
Oh, so good. Right. He deserves so much more than that. But just a testament to how great he is, that he is Dario Cueto.
I have a theory about, I think when we see him at the end of this thing, I think we see like, oh, maybe that's why he was, I think he just looks like he was just a bit of a pawn. You know what I mean?
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Maybe. But anyways, that's sort of one of those things that I kind of missed. Can a Lucha Underground, how integral is Dario Cueto? How integral is Luis Hernandez Gil?
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's a show without him.
No
honestly.
Kidding.
Yeah. And we've said it 1,000 times. And the scenes he's in, the wrestler slash actors become actors slash wrestlers.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's within a thing. Even if you're relying on vignettes less, they're still an integral part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Every episode that had something like that in it was significantly better than the ones that didn't this season.
For mm-hmm. sure.
And despite the fact that they were shot with, like, obviously less everything.
Mm-hmm. Less bells and whistles.
Yes.
Less time, less effort, less talent.
For sure.
You know.
So next we got Johnny Mundo backstage and enter Aerostar. It's like, now we are even.
Love
it's
this.
Like this power is affecting you. It's not enhancing you. It's turning you into a shell of yourself. This god, you're becoming this god. Here, you know what? I think I would have changed this a little bit in Johnny. I'm like, I guess it's fine to say I don't want any. I guess that's enough character-wise to say no one gets to my body, my beautiful body, except me. I guess that's enough.
Mm.
What I would have liked, because it would have worked better for what was going on with him, it was him to talk, like, make this change. It's like, you know what? I'm married now. Like, I have, that's my one true love in my life kind of thing now. Like, maybe that's what finally turns him into this pure baby face. And then that makes the betrayal
the
end even
better.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a really smart thought.
Yeah, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only thing that I didn't care for in this was when they called it the sacrifice match and all the rest of them, the wrestler was sacrificed at the end of the match.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they had to shoot the end of the season story mm-hmm. that we'll get to in the vignette. But it just seemed weird that they didn't do that, even though they made a big deal about how it was a sacrifice match.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it really just it was just Johnny the whole time?
I guess just Johnny was at risk of being sacrificed.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It more clear.
It just felt a little weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but that's the only negative I have with that whole situation. Otherwise, it was fantastic.
Yeah. It gives him and gives him the gauntlet and says, "You're a good man, Johnny."
Like, I loved it.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Yeah.
This is so good.
Aerostar was so good.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah. He's great. Yeah, as I said, mm-hmm. the only award we're giving out this season.
Bob, how is your Spanish?
Not good.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you knew one more word than I did today. Mundo. World. Right. But yeah, so Bob, you'd agree? You thought that was best match of the night?
I think so, yeah.
Well, my friends, I thought this last match was the best match of the night.
Hmm.
Main event, Cierro Miedo match for the Lucha Underground Championship. Pentagon Dark versus Marty the Moth. Marty is looking focused and in his kind of street fight gear that I love. Any sort of, that's the equivalent of like Dusty throwing on a t-shirt and jeans to come out for like whatever street fight match they're having. And so right away from the start, just Pentagon Dark throws a chair at him, right, hits him right in the head. And that is what I don't think it was hard way, but that was the start of the gusher, man. And
yeah,
it was intense, but that took this match right away to like everything you were looking at least that's the way I felt. Like just the Crimson Mask, man, it just took it to a new level of whatever. But he's able to no sell the chops. Looks like a shark attack.
Yeah.
Like it was just out of control. Tosses Pentagon Dark through a table, kendo stick, and he gets his old lunchbox. It was bacon. I don't think that was beef jerky. They called it beef jerky.
That did bacon. Look like bacon.
And he gets out
the fork. That was my favorite vamp call of the night. He's eating beef jerky.
So I don't know if he's offended or proud.
Yeah, I don't know.
Tearing Pentagon Dark's mask. This is before he grabs a fork and he starts just going to the forehead like he had before.
Now this up to this point, like, you know, this match begins, and I'm beginning to notice a bit of a pattern in Pentagon's matches where, and I think it's something, there's something about this, the way that these are composed structurally that I don't, there's something about it that I just don't quite chime with. And it's that Pentagon always dominates so much early on.
Yeah.
It happened with the Reclusa match. It's definitely happening here where he just gets to jump on you and he dominates you the whole time. And I'm like, well, I kind of want to cheer for you, but this is, you're like, I would describe certainly without question going into this match, despite the championship belt being around Marty's waist, Marty is the underdog. Do you agree?
Yeah. Bob? Yeah.
I think from the fan perspective, yeah.
Without a doubt.
But also, like, he had won it under, like, kind of chicken shit heel circumstances. Mm. So he hadn't, like, proven himself to be this, like, fighting champion.
I guess.
It's also a very traditional babyface chasing champion booking, where the babyface finally gets his hands on the heel, and they beat the crap out of him for a few minutes, and then through some underhanded tactic, the heel gets back on top. It's real, like, old-school booking.
Oh, yeah, and this was an old-school match, man. This is the most blood, like, and there's been blood in a lot of Lucha Underground matches. This was the most blood we've ever seen in any Lucha Underground match.
There was, the amount of blood that was coming off of Marty's face was...
It was concerning.
It was.
And that gave an extra level to this match, I thought.
Did you guys see the picture that Matt Cross put on Twitter? Of the pool, the literal puddle of blood that was on the floor after the end of that match.
Oh my gosh.
Dear God.
If you have a chance to check on Twitter, if you go to his Twitter account, he put a picture up. It's all over somebody's seat, and there's just a pool of blood on the floor. It's disgusting.
Unreal. What somebody's seat. Like, I want to talk to next time Marty's doing a live playthrough of Spider-Man on the PS4. I'm gonna ask him, like, dude, I wonder if he was just starting to feel faint or whatever, man. I can't imagine.
It was like the blood was thick. It was like paint.
Yeah, that's what Nora said. She's like, I think it's paint. I'm like, yeah, I think you're right. Pentagon, or the throw the pile of chairs on him, and this is where it's like, yeah, it's just getting into this. This felt like the main event. As great as that last match was, like, this had to, they had something to live up to with this. And like, I can see you guys thinking the match before this was better, but I think in terms of drama, the match itself, this match, not the stuff that happened afterwards, was really up there with some of their best.
I wonder if I would have enjoyed it more if we hadn't just gone through a death match earlier. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I think it was a mistake putting both of them on the same night card.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, awesome. Lucha Destroyer off of the table. Sets up Pentagon Dark in a garbage can. Starts swinging the bat at him.
This looked very I'm not usually moved by any, like, I'm not usually, like, touched or intrigued by anything that involves a garbage can, but for some, just that, the bat, like, and the fact that the garbage can was split
in the middle,
that made me very, like,
and Stryker called it out to
her. That would be
razor sharp.
Oh God,
said.
Yeah. I feel that way about ladders. You know, when somebody gets like dumped on a ladder, I can feel
one of the corners.
I can just feel it. Like brushed aluminum,
a lot of jagged edges.
Awful.
And the gasoline makes a return.
God.
And Max, you did not get your payoff that you want. Somebody's got to get set on fire.
Something has to be set on fire. You cannot pull out gasoline and threaten to set on fire and then not light something. I'm not saying you have to kill. You don't have to set someone on fire.
And like, I know. just something has to start a fire. Like maybe like a start the ring and starts to the flame starts to roll towards him. And he gets out of the way and just in time or something.
And then, and then they just.
What was I going to say though? I can't remember. Anyways,
Premiere.
Gasoline.
Premiere Lucha Underground after show.
But he kicks the lighter away anyways. I was right at this point. I'm wondering, where's Reclusa? Where is she?
Yeah,
I thought she would have made an appearance of some sort.
Yeah. And no Mariposa either.
But she'd been written out, basically, in terms of being involved.
I thought she might get involved somehow.
Yeah, maybe. Or I guess she could have, helped Pentagon.
Yeah, because she didn't have a moment.
Ran out with Reclusa. Yeah. Hey, Cage wasn't in...
Cage hasn't been on in weeks.
Yeah. Anyways, Matanzo hip-tossed out of the ring through a table. Marty is hip-tossed out of the ring through a table. He's awesome, man. He's so good. Whatever.
I felt that hip toss was a little telegraphed.
Yeah.
And I think it had to do because he had so much blood on his face. Sure. I think he was having trouble seeing things.
Sure. But it's him taking another nasty bump in the middle of this. And then there's a pane of glass there, of course, that Marty gets thrown through. At this point, it looks like Marty's hand might have been a little bloody as well. Pentagon sets up the chairs. And it's a package pile driver through the chairs for the win.
The crowd loses their mind over the pane of
craziness.
Glass.
Craziness.
Do they cut to the pane of glass and then cut away and then throw him through it?
Mm-hmm.
They showed it at the beginning of the match. They were showing all the miscellaneous stuff. Yeah.
What a weird choice.
Yeah. But that was just a crazy image of Marty on the mat, of the overhead shot at the end there, just with you can tell they'd wiped some of the blood away, but there's still fresh blood on him and stuff.
Oh,
and he's
he's
just exhausted. Yeah. Put it all out there. I went 3.75 on this. I went up just a bit from the last one.
What would you do with Marty's character? You can include the Marty sphere. You can include Mariposa and Reclusa if you want in season 5. Where would you go from here?
Then maybe you have to go in a different direction if that's what you had to do with Phoenix. Maybe you have to make him a more cleaned up. Remember, he comes from money, right? You could go back to that, make him more of like a snobby country club type.
I think you could go actually turn him into, I think maybe even into a babyface. Because based on what it looks like they might be lining up for the last season, if there is a last season, allegedly. They're going to need more good guys.
And it's getting pretty full limo. So here, Reclusa enters, but then Vampiro next. And first I'm like, why is he going to work his way into this?
He was.
If somebody play my fucking music.
That's what I was waiting for with Vampiro's music the whole time.
But he comes with the belt.
Yeah, I thought he was going in there to, knock her off and, we'll have a moment with
Pentagon. And that's kind of what it was at first. But he hands the belt to Pentagon, but then turns on him. He fights him off and enter the new master. So I guess, in a way, they did pay off one of the last images from last season. Who knows if that guy with the silver face is the same person? I doubt it.
Yeah.
Do you know who this was, Bob?
After doing a bit of digging, from all I could find is his name is Australian Suicide.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's the only thing I could find for him.
He wrestles in AAA.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's he's often an Atomico's partner with Jack Evans and Angelico.
Interesting.
Rest in peace to both of them.
That's right. The thing here that's driving me fucking crazy about this sequence, this segment, is that Vampiro is wearing an LRA t-shirt.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
It wasn't the fact that he no-sold kicks from the Lucha Underground champion.
Yeah.
He just basically murdered another human being to win a piece of gold on a strap. He's getting kicked and not selling it.
He was so bad.
What an asshole.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, Pentagon, you could make an argument that Pentagon had just been beaten with a ninja's life, didn't have a lot of strength left.
Sure.
But, and like Vamp, you know, obviously was out of, not in game shape or like, you know, was not crisp. But the fact that he could have worn anything, they could have put him in literally anything. A Modelo t-shirt.
would have been
totally better.
Cool.
But instead,
Modelo.
Not once.
I tweeted at them all season long.
They don't even know.
Not a single response. Eventually, I'm just like, nobody is running the Modelo USA account tagging them.
Oh my god.
Anyways, I don't even like your beer. Actually, the Negro is pretty good.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Modelo.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Anyways,
Bob, thoughts on Modelo?
Not a drinker, so I am I will abstain on Modelo opinion.
Hey, right. Great for you.
I appreciate their sponsorship of Lucha Underground, however, an underground fighting ring in an ice house in California.
And, yeah,
that takes a strong company to make that kind of statement.
And thank you for keeping Antonio hydrated. But get him a bottle opener, for fuck's sake. Guy had to use the back of a hammer. That was the weirdest segment of the season.
Time he did one of those, it was so bizarre.
I know. So
talking
weird.
About the results of a match that just happened during a Modelo commercial.
Yeah. Oh my god.
So the new master, enters, hits a shooting star press off of the exit, another high spot, and then another high spot in the ring. And then enter Max's favorite, Jake Strong. Pentagon Dark lies in a heap. It's all going as you had foreseen it.
I gotta tell you, I thought I was wrong. Mm-hmm. Up until this point, I'm like, oh, okay, I was wrong.
Yeah.
Like, Jake Strong is, they clued in that Jake Strong is not the prize winning pony that you latch your whole business to. But no, they did.
It's like I can cash this in whenever I want. Gives the gift of the gods to Marty Elias. Straight to the ankle lock. No sound effect.
Oh, there was a sound effect.
Was there?
Yeah.
I didn't catch the sound effect that time either.
Pentagon.
I heard one for
Dragon S. Tekka Jr. Mm-hmm. later.
It was there.
But he loses consciousness. And that's fine. At least he didn't tap. That would have been
That would have been very bad.
But I guess it makes sense. They had to know that Pentagon is hot. Hot property! That's a Norm MacDonald from an old Norm MacDonald stand-up. So I think they have to be booking with the thought that this guy will be lucky if we get him again.
He's their meal ticket. They know that. If they have any chance to bring him back, you have to keep him strong.
But with the understanding that there's a chance that somebody's going to snatch him. Somebody, we know, we mean New York. New Lucha Underground champion, the Savage, Jake Strong. The crowd is choked.
Yeah.
They are upset.
They were pissed.
And they leave the temple, and it just sounds so, it feels so anticlimactic. And I'm like, well, here we go. The last segment.
Yeah.
Let's see if how they
wrap things up here. I was so hyped for this.
Me too. Me too.
This was great.
And it starts off so great. Dragon Azteca Jr., King Cuerno, and Aerostar, overhead shot. They say the gods are already too strong. I said, we've got to do it. When they say, like, make it quick. And then we see the return of Black Lotus.
Was not expecting that.
No. Not even a little bit.
No.
I was very curious when he said, she will. I was like, what female do they have to bring back?
Yeah.
And that was how long ago I'd seen her. I didn't even remember she existed.
Yeah, totally. She hadn't made an appearance since Ultima Lucha Trace.
Yeah,
I think like the second episode or something even.
And
she comes right at Matanza and removes his heart. So that's like, there's no doubt, new dude to boot it, that he's not, even if those other sacrificers are coming back somehow, he is not. Like, this was like a Masquerita Sagrada agent. Like, clearly toast.
I think that's okay. I think that character had run its course probably a season ago, frankly.
And he had made it known that he was done.
Sure. Yep. He's got bigger fish to fry at this point.
And right after it happens, like, this was so cheesy B-movie great. So, Dragon Azteca Jr. has been, your parents can finally be at peace.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that was quality.
Right after seeing it, like, he's just, whoa, you just took that guy's heart out of his chest.
Completely unfazed that she's holding his heart.
Yeah. She's like, and so can your master. And she leaves.
They tied up the loose end of Rey Mysterio too. We all assumed, but now we know for sure.
Yeah.
So the guy who showed up on SmackDown is clearly a fraud.
Yes. But then, the Savage Jake Strong enters to kick some ass. Says, that belongs to me, or no? It's like, that's not yours. And then you definitely hear this ankle break. He takes the gauntlet and says, it belongs to us. A nice touch with the Strong splashing the blood onto his...
That moment when he says, belongs to us, and starts smashing his own chest when the blood is with the gauntlet and the blood is popping up there for the... That was the first time this whole season I'm intrigued by Jake Strong.
Good. Yeah. All right.
It took a whole season to do it.
I'm always a big fan of someone with a title belt on in a suit.
Yeah,
much like a mask in a suit, a title belt in a suit like that. Wearing the belt, not just carrying it.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah, good call. Taya and Mundo are in the locker room. Taya's just poker face. She says, I am not your wife. Picks him up by the thing, says, I am a god, as her eyes turn red.
Mm-hmm. And that's just where it ends, right?
With those two, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to some extent, everything's kind of coming together, but they're also... just creating new things, especially leading to this limousine. I couldn't even get this all down. It was all happening so quickly.
Who's in the limousine?
Got the reveal.
Well, we'll get to that in a second. But we've got Antonio. We've got the new master.
We've got the Australian suicide. They should just call him that.
We've got the FBI.
My new master, Australian suicide.
FBI agent. I believe that's it. And Jake Strong comes running in and drops the belt in, and then it's like all done so ceremoniously. It's like, wow, they've got everything now. It's like it's all falling into place. And we see that the guy with the cigar is in there, and we hear his original voice, but then it changes to a British one. And it's like, he's like, who'd you get it? Oh, but this is what I thought was interesting. He's like, how would you get it from? It's like, from Matanza.
Yeah. And they cut to
Antonio. And there's kind of a reaction there, but it's also kind of like, I think he knew that, as I said, that's why we didn't learn much about him this season, because he's just there to... be a plug for these guys and do what they needed him to do.
Maybe.
He knew he couldn't show that he was really upset that Matanza was dead.
Yeah.
Even though he knew he was.
That's how I read the situation too, that he was kind of holding back his emotions for sure. Yeah. Yeah. That could be interesting.
Yeah.
I would love, I can't, I mean, oh, and the then, idea of being there, of two, of that one, what's his name again, the actor?
Who?
Dario.
Luis Hernandez Gil.
Luis Hernandez Gil.
Yeah, if it has to be like a Honey Professor thing with the two of them.
Yeah, if he gets to play two parts in one scene, oh God.
That would be amazing.
And the father and son.
Yes.
That's all I
want
to see.
I want like a clumps scene of the Quaidos.
Oh my God. Amazing.
And so with the cigar out of the light, we see, anyone else have any bad news? It is going all the way back to what I think was like our second episode, or maybe first or second episode. We made the reference that he is known as he had to change his name to Unfortunate Events Stewart.
Yes.
What a way to come full circle.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Which, wow.
Freaky.
I had no idea. I had this was the biggest surprise of.
Yeah, they kept that under wraps really well.
Yeah. And there was a time when he was doing great stuff, and he's got a great look, like matinee idol kind of, chiseled, whatever.
Yeah.
Did not expect that to be there. Mm-hmm. Not for a million years.
Yeah.
And going back to show Bibles, there's no way that was their first pick.
And this makes sense for him too, because I think that he's not. From the interviews that I've listened to with him, he hasn't really he doesn't really seem intrigued by wrestling at the moment, and so this is a way, I'm sure you can lure him back, because he's not portraying a wrestling character, at least not at first, not yet, right? Yeah, so he would get a lot of vignettes and things like that. And, or maybe he has no intention of ever doing maybe anything ever.
Yeah, or maybe this is it. Right?
He's working as the face of some British promotion right now that, for the life of me, I cannot remember the name of.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a World of Sport.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah, that is right, yeah.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah, but he's the commissioner. He's not.
Yeah, he's not wrestling. He's just somebody to draw eyes to their product. Yeah.
He's the Dario. He's the Dario of World of Sport.
then this makes sense with this transition for sure, as you'd say. And then we cut to the very last segment. 1 year ago, Dario Cueto's coffin. It cuts Antonio taking the key, which is probably like first image we saw at the start of the season. Yeah. This is a nice little kind of bookend here. And closes the coffin. Aerostar enters, opens it up with the amulet, and Dario is back to life. At first, his eyes were blue, like had that kind of spooky thing. It's like, oh, maybe Antonio had some sort of...
Yeah.
But his eye turned into old, regular Dario. He's not like Dark Phoenix. I guess they explained why, because it had to do with Katrina's...
Amulet or something?
Or mucking with him, like her spirit didn't want to go away. Whatever. Like
That's
why Phoenix didn't come back.
That's why Phoenix was evil because of Katrina's spirit.
Yeah.
And that's why Dario can come back just as Dario because Katrina's influence is not there.
So yeah.
I can see it as even Dario was just generally kind of an evil person too though, so maybe it doesn't have as much influence on him because he's already kind of a bad guy.
Yeah, oh yeah. Maybe. I mean, you get the sense though that if there's gonna be number five, he's coming back pure baby.
It's gonna be huge.
Oh man, can't wait.
Aerostar says, "Come with me." What the fuck? Cut to be continued.
Great stuff.
Yeah,
definitely the best possible way to end things with a bunch of different little vignettes, cliffhangers, moving plots around. That's but the clearly, attractive part about this whole show.
Yeah, clearly an end that has more in mind, has plans for more beyond this. I was expecting them to play it a little more safe because of the unknown future. I thought they would wrap up a lot more and then just leave us with a couple little things, but my goodness,
they're going for it. I mean,
they really are.
Yeah, it definitely makes you feel like at least they are intending to have a season five.
The Antonio Cueto Twitter account tweeted out yesterday that you had not seen the last of the Temple or Lucha Underground. He said his exact tweet was, "I will be out of the office taking meetings with some business associates of mine for a while, but rest assured you have not seen the last of my Temple or hashtag Lucha Underground."
Remember there was talk about a film for a while back.
Yeah, I could see them doing that. Even if they can't get a full season together, if they put together a 2-hour film with some matches in it to tie it all up.
I love it.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah. I'd be in for that for sure.
Yeah.
You can get Mundo to direct.
Ha. Is he directing these days?
He directed his movie, Boone the Bounty Hunter.
Oh, yeah. The Bounty Hunter movie.
He directed it.
Did you guys watch that?
No.
I watched 10 minutes, and I was like,
I have a thing about wrestlers and movies that typically they're just bad, so I try to avoid them.
It's on Netflix. You can watch it on Netflix. Okay. Yeah.
Well, thank you. did you watch any of him on Survivor, Bob?
No, not a big Survivor fan.
Yeah, me neither. My mom was like, "Hey, did you know that there's a wrestler on Survivor?"
Do you know how many people tell me that?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Okay. Well, so that's it.
So let's we should make, so should we do a...
off the top of our head, standout. Just any sort of highlights. Highlights from season 4?
From season 4?
Season 4.
Highlights.
Let's go. Biggest letdown. That was something we had done before.
Jake Strong.
but he won you at the end. He won you over at the end.
But that was like a split second.
Yeah.
I like Jake Strong for most of
the season. I would say the hiring, finding out that they hired this guy. I was like, oh, what?
Yeah. He doesn't have... he had some three great matches, right?
He had,
and a lot of squashes that weren't very good, man. But that's all they aren't supposed to be that great. But I know we've talked about this ad nauseum.
I want to focus on the positive. Can we focus on the positive?
Sure.
I feel like I get a little too critical sometimes, especially with season 4.
Yeah,
I'd like to just end on the things that I enjoyed. And maybe you start. I'll try to come up with a few.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you got in there?
Well, as we said, Aerostar's performance was outstanding. It was good to see him become more of an important character, not just because of his performance, but because we like that just messing with time sure. story. I think that's great. I just love when they go nutty like that. Cobra Moon, good to see her develop.
Well put.
Yeah.
Yep.
She just was really committed. The Mac was as never fails to disappoint. I'm glad he finally got. I don't think he had won an Ultima Lucha match up until this point.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was good to.
Yeah, maybe.
Or you know, wait. Didn't him and Cage do back to backs?
Yeah, they did.
So well, I guess probably... actually, he won the trios titles at Ultima Lucha last year.
Oh, really? Okay. What do I?
Because him, Killshot and AR.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, but in terms of like single glory, it always felt like he was on Ultima Lucha or any other big match. He was always kind of in these big matches, but would never.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was nice to give him the rub there.
There were some definite low points in season four, mm-hmm. but for as long and dragging as season three was, yeah. I really appreciated season four as a whole. I thought it was a return to form, maybe not their top-notch form,
yeah.
but maybe early season one, where it was fun, but it wasn't as good as it got.
Yeah, good point.
Sure. I think that's a very positive perspective.
Yeah.
Let me give you guys... I'll give you guys some performer names, and let me get your gut take on whatever comes to mind.
Okay.
We'll start with Bob. Mil Muertes.
I think Mil is probably one of the best on the show, consistently from season one up till now. I don't know where you can continue to go with him. Mm-hmm. They took Katrina away. I guess they killed him in the death match. So mm-hmm. can he even come back? Mm-hmm. I hope so. Because if they lose him, I think between losing him and losing Prince Puma last year, mm-hmm. that's the heart of the original cast of the show.
Yeah, and quite possibly Phoenix and
Phoenix and Pentagon go too.
Yeah.
Who the hell do you have left?
Yeah. Well, you got that limo.
you got a whole lot of guys in LMO.
Civilian suicide.
Trav, talk to me about Paul London.
Okay. He did not wrestle much this year at all. Mm-hmm. He was, and when he was, but like, I mean, he's semi-retired. And mm-hmm. I feel like he just made an announcement recently that he's coming back and working more. Mm. But, you know, with it for what his role was, I don't know what Rabbit Tribe was completely absent from this finale. Hey,
well, no, they were in the
Tribe too.
The Rabbit Tribe was in the opening trios match of
episode. Yeah. But in terms of this last and we just saw them leave in the middle of or the after they lost the first pin and they walked out and that was the end of their story arc for this season. That's what I mm-hmm. was trying. There's no kind of real resolution there.
Mm-hmm.
But he's I like him as a performer for sure. Like he was unique and different and added that bit of variety that they needed.
Mm. But what are your thoughts on the whole Rabbit Tribe situation this season?
I know we were trying to stay positive, but I feel like they might be the biggest letdown for me of the whole season.
Mm.
Spending so long building up the White Rabbit as a potential character and then to have him do basically nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they tried to get him over, so maybe they're building him with hopes of having him as an important character in season five.
Mm-hmm.
I know that during that last segment, they mentioned that all the gods have taken human form now, so maybe he's one of them.
Yeah, I think so.
But he really hasn't. I mean, Killer Cross is a good wrestler. Mm-hmm. He's a big powerhouse guy, but he really hasn't done anything.
Yeah. Well, he's big on. He's part of Impact now, right?
That's
what I'm thinking. I mean, I haven't watched any of Impact. I mean, I hear it's better now that Cyrus is booking it.
That's what I've heard, right? Too.
Mm-hmm.
I catch the reviews of it, but I don't go out of my way to watch it live.
Yeah, but that and the relationship that Lucha Underground has with them right now makes me think that they could do the something else quite easily. They're in a position to I think try something like a movie as opposed to when I think last season was more of a question mark before they had built this relationship.
Trev, what are your takeaways from Exolicious?
Hey, yeah, I was gonna mention him. Yeah, great character. You need more of that in all of wrestling. I think I needed more of a again, say with her and him and Eva Lise needed a better thing. That's, I mean, talk about letdowns. Just Eva Lise not getting that great moment, man. She's so awesome. She's so, we've said it a thousand times, she's so easy to cheer for. I'd like to see something else from her soon in the future, maybe somewhere else.
Yeah,
something bigger, because it just seems like she just kind of bounces around in Mexico and California, I think.
Totally. I mean, it seems like there should at least be a home for her on Impact, don't you think?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to bring up, is of all the random female wrestlers they brought into Impact for one-off matches, I'm surprised she hasn't been there with all the Lucha Underground talent they have already.
Bob, what are your thoughts on Sami Callihan?
Sami Callihan's an interesting character. I have a hard time determining whether Sami Callihan the wrestler is always Sami Callihan the wrestler, or if he's really just not someone I want to be associated with.
Yeah, totally. But isn't that what makes him so good?
Yeah.
I've always said, you know, wrestling is best when you're not sure what's real and what's not. I think
that's very true.
He might be a genius.
Yeah.
That is very true. I think he can be a very good wrestler given the right circumstances.
Yeah.
I just feel like I find him booked in garbage matches a lot of the time, whereas his actual skill as a wrestler gets covered up by chairs and run-in spots and nonsense like that.
And spit.
Yes, and gore is just ghoulish amounts of spit.
I think his spot that he filled could have been done by many different wrestlers better.
Yeah.
This season.
All right, last one, and I guess this would be for both of you. We'll start with Trav. Famous B.
I love that he's carved out a perfect little niche for him within this universe. He should maybe he'll catch on somewhere else in a similar sort of thing. But if not, he serves a very key purpose in the company, I think.
Actually, Bob, I'm going to give you a different one, Taya.
I think this season did not do Taya justice as a wrestler. I know just from following Twitter and things like that she had some emotional issues. She had an eating disorder she fought through for most of the season, and actually most of the past year, from what I understand. And don't quote me on all of that, but it's just stuff I've picked up off Twitter. And she seems to be happy and doing a lot better now. So, you know, I'm hoping that she gets an opportunity to show it. She's been pretty good in Impact from what I hear. And hopefully there's more, obviously, hopefully there's more Lucha Underground where she gets a chance to really shine next season as a, sounds like, a main character.
Yeah, well, now she's going to be a god, so that would mean some sort of, a bump up on the card, you would imagine.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what was the best match of the year. That last match might have been my favorite match of the year. I don't think I went 4 at all this season.
Nope, you did not.
No, I don't think so.
There are not a lot of standout matches for me.
No.
But I think I'm also happen to be, just to, you know, as a caveat to this whole discussion, I'm going through a bit of, like, wrestling fatigue.
Sure.
And so...
Oh, yeah, that's a very real thing.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, while I can still definitely watch things and appreciate it, it's hard for me to, you know, get wound up in it.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. Or like, okay, yeah, let's put on something else. I remember, it comes in waves.
Yeah.
And, you know, there'd be nights where I'm like, okay, I can fit in three classic matches or two classic matches and one new match that I got to see. You know, but now that just doesn't happen so much.
Yeah.
I put on, I'll give a plug to Mystery Titans Theater that is long gone. They've done 16 episodes where it's just Johnny Sorrow and Kelly and Parv talking over a random card that they've never seen before.
Oh yeah,
nice. I've watched all 16 of those. That's my like security blanket to go on. I just put that on as with the sleep timer. But yeah, no, I get it.
Guys, I guess we should talk. I mean, we should really wind things up.
Yep.
And so, I don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. How do we wind up the theoretically Lucha Underground? How do we wind up Lucha Afterground? I don't know.
Well, I think I will say Lucha Afterground. Yeah. So this will be the last episode in this format. I might have some sort of different plans for what we will do with it in the future. Bob, if you're interested in being involved, I may reach out to you. But that, yeah, that remains to be seen. like what in how we do that. But I mean,
I'd be happy to. Yeah. I mean, awesome. Really, it'd be great. And I have confidence there will be another incarnation of Lucha Underground, whether it's a movie or a fifth season.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully there's some news sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about what we think its legacy will be and,
I'll be curious to see what happens when
that come out of it. And, yeah, I do hope we do. I think a movie, ideally, that's what I'd like. That's what I'd like.
A movie.
One, just a movie. And mm-hmm. instead of another season.
Do you want wrestling matches in this movie?
Yep, for sure. For sure.
Do you want
I think so.
Do you want them shot like the way these ones have been shot? Or do you want them like more like shot like a movie?
I think you could still shoot them to look like a film, but still like don't, make it more documentary style when it gets to that portion where you're just kind of fly on the wall.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. You could do someone maybe telling the story of things, so you edit the matches more, maybe you show them as more of a highlight package.
Yeah, maybe.
I would that way you like can fit more like, into it.
Yeah, I would still like then, to see like full matches if they're going to.
Yeah,
to
maybe you do the main event.
Yeah, to move this into to move the form into a different medium. I hope they wouldn't abandon the heart of. Of what this is that they're trying to put over here.
Hmm.
And that is the art form of professional wrestling. Yeah.
It's been a pleasure.
It has been. Bob, it's so great that we got to meet you through this.
It's been awesome. It really has.
Yeah. We will definitely be staying in touch. Thanks again, Max.
Thanks to everybody who's tuned in and listened for, I don't know why you did it, but really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I love being able to tell people how many people listen to this and look at the expression on their face because it's very confusing. It's confusing even for me.
Yeah.
So this has been a real bizarre project.
Yeah.
But fun.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
For sure.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Highs and lows, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Thanks to, Kelly first for getting Brad and Chad to sign on to us, and then for, PWO with the Switch and Charles and all that.
Kevin Banner.
God, any day now he's going
to get well soon.
Be back.
Get well soon, Kevin. Best wishes. I hope I don't end up in there with you, sir. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Just don't talk shit about Krav Maga.
No, never. Not once. If I dream something negative about it, I wake up and I apologize.
All right,
I send Vampiro a tweet saying I didn't mean it, sir.
That's great.
That's awesome. All right, well, that's that.
Yeah. On that note, we will not be here next.
We will not be here next week. So don't try to join us. It's not gonna happen.
It's just gonna be weird if you try to join us.
That's right.
Adios.